KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gao Media station, ESPN, 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey!
Hey.
We've got two in the rear view, one in the windshield. We've got 60 minutes on the clock. That means 1 hour to go in the big show. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel on a way back Wednesday that wasn't way back.
No.
We've had a good time so far. Covering a lot of ground.
We're having a good time, as Dusty Slay would say. Hey, recently, we got this text. Recently, I've been solely listening to business ebooks in my car, but every day I tune in from 1 to 4 just for you guys. Kissy face.
Thank you.
I think that's Amazon B's brother, if I didn't recognize the number correctly.
Okay.
I think.
All right.
Could be wrong there. Look, there it is. You the man, Joel. See?
What? Oh.
Yeah, because you did the
all right. I didn't do it intentionally. I just try and keep it, you know, a little bit fresh and wrote. I guess they took him out of the rotation unintentionally.
People get used to that stuff, dude. People get used to it. Hey, can we talk a little baseball?
Sure.
Or did you have something specific you wanted to cover?
I don't know, Nick. Do we have that? We don't have that audio yet. So we'll come back to that audio. So yeah, we covered Astros in the past, but yeah.
Well, it's a little Astros related. Sure. There's the Larry Brown Sports had the top 10. Trade deadline candidates, and I wanted to get your thoughts on some.
Yep.
Because we know that the Astros are a bona fide contender for another World Series, and they have a few holes that they could fill. Not necessarily a must, like it's preventing them from making a World Series, but... So I'm going to throw out... Do you want me to read all 10 names, or do you just want me to give you the highlights? It's a pretty simple list.
Use your discretion.
All right, here we'll go from 10 to 1 based on this article. Number 10, Trevor Bauer.
Out.
Number 9, Zach Wheeler, pitcher for the Mets.
Okay.
Number 8, Jose Abreu.
We've talked about him.
Yeah, first baseman for the White Sox. Number 7, Whit Merrifield, infielder of the
Good
Royals.
Player. Yeah.
Number 6, Marcus Stroman. I know you're high on Marcus Stroman. Number 5, Alex Gordon, outfielder of the Royals.
Nope.
No reason to go after him. Number 4, Will Smith.
Men in Black.
Pitcher for the Giants.
Aladdin, Nick.
Number 3, Edward Encarnacion, another guy we've mentioned as a possible DH fix for the Mariners. Number 2, Shane Green, pitcher from the Tigers. And number 1, Madison Bumgarner, pitcher of the Giants. Two Giants on the list. Let you know the Giants.
And lots of Royals.
As bad as the Giants are, they're not going to be any way, shape, or form in contention. They're already 16 and a half back. They're looking at, you know, moving on. Same thing with the Royals. The Royals are 21 and a half back. So you see why those names are on the list. Is there, if I only gave you the choice of one guy to go after on that entire list, and I can repeat it for you real fast if you want. But of all those names, what's the one guy you would like to see as an Astro? Could be any of them.
Boy. Well, I mean, obviously, but it's never going to happen. It's a pipe dream, and it's also never going to work in the clubhouse. I would take Trevor Bauer.
Of course.
But I take him off the list because of the intangibles mean it's never going to
happen. But your answer is Trevor Bauer. And I'm with you. Of all those names, even as good as Bumgarner is in the postseason,
I'm not interested in him.
Of all those names, Trevor Bauer to me
would
be at
a different level.
Yeah, because now you're back to that 2017, 2018 rotation, or it's actually 2018 rotation of last year, where you had ones at the first three spots or
first
four spots.
There's your Morton replacement,
or your McCullers, or right. I mean, you or your Keuchel. Like he is a legitimate 1-2 guy that would fill in for any of those three and be a...
You just have to know that you're only going to get him for the rest of the season because he even went out, like I said, in several interviews and said he's going to do the rest of his career on 1-year deals.
Yeah, I'm with you. And it wouldn't work in the clubhouse. But of the hitters, so, and let's just narrow it down because we know they're not going to go after, like, I mean, well, they might go after Whit Merrifield, but I doubt it because the infield's full.
If Altuve's injury becomes long-term.
Especially the knee, not the hamstring.
Yes.
It's the knee I worry a little more about because the hamstring was supposedly fine,
mm-hmm.
and then they had to extend his trip on the IL because the right knee started acting up, the right leg. So that's why we haven't seen him back yet. But between Jose Abreu and Encarnacion, they're kind of the same guy. Any...
For me, because I like the veteran presence,
mm-hmm.
I take Encarnacion.
Okay.
Numbers are still good. But again, are you doing this for short-term or long-term? If you think, because Abreu's a little younger,
mm-hmm.
and if you think you can keep him around for a while, and have, you know, at a decent price, then maybe that's what you consider. But for me, I like Encarnacion, and I like the fact that, you know, he's already 15 plus bombs. So I think he'd be a nice addition with his veteran leadership.
It's tough, man. Because they're both having decent years. Neither one of them are going to hit for average. They're both going to hit for power. I'm with you. Abreu's 32. Encarnacion, I think, is 36, 37. Mm-hmm. So a little bit difference in age. None of them are a long-term fix, maybe a year or two if you wanted to sign them to something.
Right.
But I would probably just go Abreu because of age.
Okay.
Just get a little younger because they have veteran leadership. They're good in that regard. The Brian McCanns and the Carlos Beltrans of the world taught Jose Altuve and Carlos Correa and these guys how to be leaders. And Justin Verlander's there. And so give me a younger bat, a guy that might hold up a little bit more.
I'm with you. Lots of Royals on that list.
Yeah.
And someone was tweeting me last night and asking me because they were upset at Charlie because Charlie was saying how trash and garbage the Royals were. And he was like, hey, Royals won it not too many years ago. Why would you say that? And why would you say they're like the Astros and having to rebuild and lose 100 games a year? And I was like, well, first of all, they let guys like Hosmer and Kane and Moustakas just go away.
Yeah.
And then in the process, they either signed Gordon for too much money, thinking that he was going to, again, like we talk about, have a good year or two, and suddenly they think, boom, this guy's going to have a career like that. And then he comes back to what his career averages are, mm-hmm. but you're paying him an exorbitant amount of money and then no one wants him. That's why he's on the list. And essentially, you just start stockpiling young talent, high draft picks, and trying to do it, and that's how it happens.
Well, what's interesting to me is that the Royals are having the sell-off, like you said, but what do you do with Salvador Perez? Do you make him suffer through a rebuild?
But again, then he's out for the year now.
Yeah, but he's got 2 years left.
But when he
left.
Comes back, right. And but
it's a decent... I mean,
but he's damaged goods until he can prove he's healthy, you know, comes up after surgery.
He's 29. He's 29, so he's not old.
And think about this. This was a guy the Astros were targeting if they were going to make a trade
Perez.
For a catcher. Yeah.
They dodged a bullet, but you can't predict injuries.
No.
But, I mean, he's 29. He can hit. He's really good with the pitching staff. He's good behind the plate defensively.
Whit Merrifield may be the only guy with value right now for them.
Yeah, but why would you make Salvador Perez suffer through a rebuild? That's what I'm saying.
You wouldn't. But again, they also rewarded him with another contract.
Yeah.
And so you're going to be paying
three, four years ago.
But still, I think I want to say, because when they were rumors that the Astros were interested, I want to say it was in and around, 11 to 14?
Salvador Perez, 29 years old. This contract was 6 years, $52 million, started in 2016.
Okay.
That was the first year of the contract. The average salary on the contract was $8.7 million.
So about nine.
So, yeah. So if you round up to nine, now you're getting into the more expensive years. So this year he's due 11.2 if you include a signing bonus. Next year he's due 14.2, and then 2021 he's due 14.2.
And if the Royals were going to start having a fire sale, he was a guy, World Series experience,
really
highly respected backstop that throws out runners at a good rate, and which is a rarity these days, as we all know, an offensive catcher that can hit too. So he gives you the kind of the best of both
with
worlds.
Power and
he can hit
not
the power
great for
and
average,
decent
but,
average, but he can hit like a Gary Sanchez. But he can feel like one of the best catchers and work with a pitching staff, which is so important that he would. I thought he was perfect, and then they didn't do it, and then he got hurt.
I mean, what, he started the All-Star game 5 years in a row? He was the starter.
I don't know.
I want to say
how
it was
many
5 years
in
a row. He was the starter for the All-Star. This will be the first year in the last five or six, and obviously it's going to be Sanchez.
Brought everybody nationally into what Kansas City already knew, which was he was one of the five tool players behind the plate kind of guy. Maybe not speed wise, but I'm just saying he was the most gifted tool for tool player in the game at that time that no one knew about. Then they made the run. They won the World Series. Everybody started talking about him, got the contract. But good thing was, even when he got the contract, until he got hurt, he didn't regress. He kept putting up good numbers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, but now he's damaged goods because until he comes back and how's he going to prove it? He's got to come back, got to play. So you don't know what you're getting until you see him on the field again to see if he can get back to that level. I think Whit Merrifield's the only guy on that squad right now that's a guy that everybody wants because he's hitting for average. He's a younger guy, he's a middle infielder.
I just hope they don't make Perez go through a rebuild. That would just be awful.
I agree.
That would be wasting the guy's last couple of years in baseball.
And don't punish him for what he did to help you when you were in your heyday.
And somebody said, why not Mad Bomb? He's like 0.1 ERA. His ERA is 0.1 below Cole. And I just not like for me. I get the postseason experience. I mean, there's been few guys as dominant as Madison Bumgarner in the postseason. Like, he is legitimately dominant when it comes time, when the lights are the brightest.
Yep.
But he's aging, and I feel like there's, like, I've never, a guy on the list, Marcus Stroman. I'm just not that a big of a Marcus Stroman fan.
Yeah, we differ there.
Yeah, and it, for me, he's just been wildly inconsistent, and I feel like that's where Madison Bumgarner is right now. Is yes, he shows flashes where you're like, yo, that's the guy that I remember. But then there's the times when he doesn't.
His best days are behind him.
That's a great way to put it. And if you're going to give up something to go get a guy like that, now I would rather see them go after a younger Marcus Stroman than an aging Madison Bumgarner.
I want to see Marcus Stroman with a Brent Strom to take the arm and the ability and see what he could do. If he could do what he's done with Garrett Cole, Charlie Morton, you know, guys that he's had a chance to work with and spend some time with.
Yeah.
One of the things that intrigues me is that right there. But yeah, I'm not for the mad bomb. Although I'll tell you this, you know, and I heard the morning show talking about this, where when is baseball going to get smart and going to get position players that can pitch? Because the Brewers had a guy go in last night, if you saw that or not, a position player. It was fantastic.
he did the waggle and the high leg kick.
He loved it. Cueto, he imitated Cueto.
Yeah.
All those things. But I was like, well, you know what? If you think about this, Barry, Mad Bomb might be the guy, because then he could be the DH that replaces Tyler White. And then when you need him every fifth day, he could pitch. He'd probably hit better than Tyler White, too.
Last 3 years for both guys, Bumgarner, I'm including this year, 2018, 2017, Bumgarner's record, 4-9, 6-7, 3-5.
Only thing is, with the Giants,
I get it, but you still got to go out and pitch and try to win ball games. And last 3 years for Marcus Stroman, 13-9, 4-9, 3-7. Mixing a 5-something ERA for Stroman in last year, and Bumgarner's ERA 4.05 this year. So neither guy like, ooh, there's your ace that you signed long term. But hey, you could do worse getting either of them as an arm to be your 3 or 4.
No doubt about it. And if the Mariners want to keep their fire sale going, look, Encarnacion's a guy that I don't know if you'd give up that much to get, but if you can get him for cheap.
Think they'd do that in the division?
They gave an A ball. Well, if they don't feel like they're in the division and they can get a prospect, they gave up Jay Bruce for an A-level player.
Yeah.
If you give up an Astros A-level player to get Encarnacion for the stretch run,
I'd be happy with that.
No doubt about it. All right, we're going to continue to roll. Final hour of the show as we can keep going forward. And if you want to join us, we're here for you. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go, rolling through the show. Final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio. Yes, it's a Wednesday. Yeah, it's supposed to be a way back Wednesday. No, it's not, because of the fact that we were supposed to have our golf tournament today, and it was rescheduled for June the 19th. So, therefore, throwback Thursday tomorrow. Fellas, I look forward to the theme. I don't know if we'll ever get one, and I look forward to doing my list at 12:45 tomorrow.
I don't know what the theme would be. I have no idea.
2005 or 6, here we come.
That's fine. That would be fine by me.
So
Josh Rapp said he hopes that, he's like, that's fine if the Astros don't want Madison Bumgarner, the Cardinals will take him. Well, they need him.
They need all the help they can get.
Cardinals pitching staff is pretty awful.
Although
right now,
they are overachieving this year. And they did not only trade for Goldschmidt, but they signed him. So they've been doing some good things. So if they want to go for it, they also have to climb over two really good baseball teams in their own division.
Yeah.
Cubs and Brewers aren't going away.
No.
Cardinals, Josh Rapp, let me remind you of two words that are your biggest nightmare. Christian Yelich. I probably shouldn't even say this.
Uh-oh.
Let me just say, former Houston radio host, now TV host.
Let me guess. Barry Warner.
Nope.
Okay. I don't know.
Josh,
I
give up. Nick Wright.
You're so wrong.
Nick Wright.
Paul.
They used to work together, by the way. And probably the reason why I can't stand Nick Wright is the fact that when he was local,
how do you
here
really
in
feel,
town,
though?
He, you know, he, Josh and I would occasionally disagree on things.
What?
If Josh would call me out on the air, I'd call him back, and then we'd go back and forth a little bit. Nick Wright came to the market, didn't know me from Adam, and decided to go off on his morning show one day on me and thought that I would just go quietly into the night. And instead...
Boy, was he wrong.
Yeah, I got his phone number, and I called him up.
You wait a minute. You personally called... You didn't call his show where he did it on air.
He decided to blast me on air without knowing me. And I just...
You called him personally?
I called him, left him a voicemail, didn't answer. So I texted him. I said, bro, you know what? You don't know me. I don't know you. But the next time my name comes out of your mouth when you don't know me, you're going to have more on your hands than just doing your show.
You went likes to fight guy right away?
No doubt.
Wow.
And he came back, bro, we should do lunch. No, we really shouldn't. We
unless you want to eat this knuckle sandwich.
Yeah, we passed that.
Ain't gonna be no
and
lunch.
Even Josh was like, I don't know why he got in the middle of this. I was like, I don't know what his modus operandi was, but I was like, you know what, bro? You just lost me for life.
Wow.
So it brought joy to
feisty
my heart.
Feisty ass Joel.
When he was on his show on FS1 with Chris Carter, the ex-wide receiver, and he decided to make what he thought was an expert claim that Steph Curry got screwed when he had a chance to win the MVP of the finals in 2015, and that also one of his favorites, LeBron James, should have also won it from the losing team. So he made a lot of allegations sound a little something like this.
And I think the audience needs a reminder because it wasn't well reported on in the moment. It's only been well reported on the years since. What happened in that 2015 finals? 11 ballots are cast for finals MVP. They come in. It was 4 for LeBron, 4 for Iggy, 3 for Steph. And they can't have a co-finals MVP. So it was 4-4-3. And so what's been reported is that the 7 people that voted for Warriors came together and said, guys, we can't have co-MVPs. Right. We all obviously think it should go to someone on the winning team. Who's it going to go to? Right. And since Iggy had a 4-3 vote edge, they said, okay, we'll all vote for Iggy.
So Nick, well reported, quote unquote, was in the middle of that as well. My good friend, Tim Frank, who is the senior vice president of public relations for the NBA, is a very quiet guy, and he doesn't speak very often. But when he does it because he wants to make sure people get the right story. Tim Frank took to Twitter. Tim Frank came out and he said, this is absolutely false. It never happened. No media member, including any voter, was privy to those results until they were announced on the court. The results as we announced. Iguodala 7, LeBron James 4. Also, players from both teams are always eligible to win finals MVP. If that wasn't good enough for you, Tim also released the official press release in which all the votes were announced and each guy that had a vote and how they voted, just to be crystal clear. So on top of that, if that wasn't good enough, almost all the guys that had those votes came out with tweets to basically not only back up what Tim Frank said, but said, this is laughable. It's tough to quote unquote come together when all the voters are sitting at press seats in different spots around the entire arena. And NBA reps, grab your ballot before the buzzer sounds so that they can see who everybody voted for the first time. Everyone else, Sam Amick, other guys, all just completely coming together saying this is completely false. I don't know where he got this. Ridiculous. And finally, Nick Wright comes out and says on a tweet, one of the perils of a mid-afternoon nap is if you screw something up on TV that morning, you can wake up as some of the best NBA beat writers in the world are saying you're full of it. I've now heard from multiple people I respect and trust that I was flat wrong on this. Again, my apologies. Well, where did you get it in the first place to bring it out on TV? I'll quote unquote national TV. If you get, you know how to find, and you know what channel FS1 is.
That's the thing. Where did he get this from? He obviously, someone told him, and he didn't verify it. And that's always a slippery slope. If someone tells you that and you just take them for what it's worth, or you take them at their word.
Chris Broussard whispering in your ear doesn't count. They're on the same network, but.
Man, that's a bet. I bet I realize, you know, we've all been wrong or had something happen, and you just feel like a dumbass.
Yep.
And you just want to crawl in a hole and hide when you, when something like that happens. So one, I mean, Nick Wright never, I never threatened to fight Nick Wright, so I feel kind of bad for the guy.
I threatened to fight him, but I just, you know, I stood my ground a little bit. I made a statement.
That's good. But I feel kind of bad for the guy, but man, at the same time, you kind of got to, you got to validate something like that before you go on TV.
Especially right? when you're calling into question the legitimacy of an award that big with an organization like the NBA, which is one of the big four and so highly regarded in a lot of ways. And you got to believe that if you're wrong, this is not one the NBA is just going to go, yeah, we'll sweep that under the rug. We're not going to say anything about that.
See, like you, if you were to have heard that, your first move would have been to contact somebody
in
the NBA.
If I knew one, some of those guys, I would, or I know Tim Frank. In a lot of cases, even on this show, you know this. Because during breaks, I will text Tim Frank and go, dude, hey, tell me, am I right, am I wrong?
We've had something that we've brought up and been like, oh, I wonder if that's the case. I don't remember what it was.
One of them was cap related with...
Was it buyouts or whatever it was? Yeah, but you had that. You were sending messages. And I think the same is true. Like, if
other one was technicals being rescinded
In the playoffs.
And if they roll over to the next season.
And he validated that for us. If you're going to get some information like that, something juicy that you're going to build an argument around, it doesn't hurt to, even if you're like, oh, well, my source was this, maybe text one of those guys that voted and say, hey, this is what I heard. Can you corroborate this? And then they would be like, absolutely not. You're like, uh-oh, now I know I'm not going to use this until I can make sure if you're the only one that can't validate that or if other sources say the same. So it sucks, but a little egg on his face, and I'm sure you were mighty happy about that.
Breakfast is served.
What'd you get?
So with that, hey, we got 30 minutes on the clock when we come back. So we'll take you till 4. Blitz will take you till 7. AJ out, I believe, still bossing the gloss in. That should be fun and interesting on your way home. All right here on ESPN 97.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hey, Nick.
Oh, damn it.
Here's what I want you to do.
No.
When you go and do Barry's list tomorrow.
Okay, I must have spelled it wrong.
Did he really?
If you go looking for Eddie Rabbert and you can't find a song called I Love a Rainy Night by Eddie Rabbert, then he can't have that song.
So technically,
bitch, it's a typo. If you go look at Missy Elliott and you can't find I Can't Stand the Ram, you can't have that song.
So if I submit both those songs right now, technically they're mine.
Yes.
Okay, if we're going to start doing typos.
You're blocked, Nick, by the way, because of spelling.
No, you are.
Oh, that's right.
And you would be out, too.
How? I haven't submitted anything
yet. Half of your list have typos in them.
Nicholas. I would agree with that sentiment.
Okay.
I had typos in them.
What are you coming at me? I'm Stephen A. Smith and you.
Yeah, you don't want to go down that path.
No.
Trust me.
Because I'm going to start.
And you know what's funny is as I was sending it, I saw Rabbert and I was like, yeah, too late. I was literally hitting send as I saw it and went, oh, man. After I just got lambasted for spelling yesterday. Whatever. So,
I was Stephen A. This Billy Vanilla.
I can't stand the rim.
Prance! Who's Prance?
I spelled Millie wrong, but at least it's still Millie.
Yeah, at least I'll
technically
give you that
Millie,
but
it's
Eddie
still wrong.
Eddie Rabbert and I Can't Stand the Ran.
No iron rain. Shut up, Joel.
Hey, man, I just...
You got the point, okay? You got the point. That's a good-ass list, though. Good luck.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I want to steal two of them.
You got Orange Juice Jones out hanging out there.
Yeah, thanks. Now Nick's going to get that. He doesn't even know what that song is.
I'm going to work on it when I get home. So you have time.
You have time.
I probably won't work on it until tomorrow.
Clarence said, can you do Stan?
By Eminem?
Oh, no. He said, who was it? No, Salvino said, will Stan by Eminem work for songs with rain? Why would that be?
What did he say?
Salvino said, will Stan by Eminem work for songs with rain? No, because it's about a...
It's not the sound effect. It has to have the lyrics and talk about...
Yeah, it's about... It's got to have rain in the title or talk about rain. Does it... I'm trying to think of what the hook
now,
does.
Like, if there's a make it rain part, does that count?
Oh, she does say the morning rain fogs up my window. So I guess that technically would count because that's in the hook. The morning rain fogs up my window.
Missy?
No, Stan by Eminem.
Oh, because...
He's singing the Dido. He uses the Dido hook.
Yeah.
And she does say rain. So I get... I don't see why that wouldn't. I hope that's not 2009. I hope it's like 2010 so y'all can't use it.
Oh, misspellings and missed years. DQ. That's what I love about Barry's List.
Clarence's, Lil Jon's, all skeets. No, no. Mm-hmm. Not going to work. Not a rain song. No, Clarence. Not it at all.
Okay.
So.
Well, so Throwback Thursday tomorrow. Your list is already in. Joy to the world.
Somebody said, Missy Elliott, I can't stand the rain.
You already got that, but I can't stand the rain. And then I ran so far away. Okay, so tonight, finals, game 3. KD out officially. Klay Thompson says he will play. They list him as questionable. He says he will play. I think, based on what we had said, I think Golden State's going with the philosophy of we're in a position of strength right now because we got the split, so we're not going to rush anybody back too soon. I'll tell you this, and I know people have talked about the resilience of Klay Thompson and the way he's been able to, you know, fight through injuries in the past. That one is not one. That's a delicate situation. Like, if it's ready to go, that's a huge gamble if you play him tonight. I'm not sure if I'm going to be monitoring him all the way through warmups, and I'm going to say, hey, bro, if you're feeling that at all, I know you're going to hate this, but you cannot go tonight.
Warriors are 4.5-point favorite.
Home.
At home. Why did the majority of the basketball experts on sit down or whatever it is, why did they all pick the Raptors to win? Do they know something about Klay that we don't?
Klay is not going to be, even if he plays, is he going to be 100%? Boogie, you don't know if he can bounce back, and he's still not 100%.
But Boogie KD's was fine out. Last game. I mean,
he
Boogie's
was fine last
fine.
Game, but the first game he wasn't.
Yeah, but that's two
but Barry,
games ago.
Now you take an 8-minute stint and you talk about the major minutes he played in game 2.
He's also had 2 or 3 days to rest.
Okay. I'm just saying, you're asking
me
why.
I get it more if you're concerned about Klay because you don't know since that game how he's going to look. But you've had another game since the 8-minute game for Boogie, and he looked great. And I get it that you're missing Klay, or could be. You're missing KD, but you still have Steph Curry, Draymond Green, and DeMarcus Cousins. Like, that's a pretty damn good three to roll out against Kawhi Leonard and Kyle Lowry and Siakam. I would take my chances with Draymond Green. Like, because they were asking, well, who do y'all think would be the, you know, the surprise? They asked Stephen A. and Max Kellerman, who do you think is going to be the, you know, the key? Who's the key player in this next game, in game 3 tonight? And Stephen A. said Draymond Green. And I tend to agree. I just feel like if Steph Curry is on, forget it. At home, just forget it. Like he can more
again,
than make up for whatever they miss
offensively.
Depending
on who's not around him, they will do more, as the Warriors, both Steve Kerr and Steph called it, janky defenses, the box and one, you know, the trap wherever they can, because they're going to dare somebody else to beat them. But I think Stephen A., don't go on too big of a limb, because the bottom line is Draymond Green is that guy every night. Because you know you can get offense from a variety of different players.
Right.
But if he's in foul trouble, we saw that in game 1, or he's just not focused, Siakam goes off for 30-some points.
His presence impacts the game, Draymond.
On both ends
big
of the
time.
Floor.
Yeah.
And we already know from an emotional standpoint. So if he's the key every night, because if he's dialed in and he's doing it on both ends, he don't have to score a lot. But look, he's running the fast break. When they were doubling Steph, and there's a lot of points in the game, he'll grab a rebound and go by himself.
Yeah.
He'll either score or find somebody. And that makes it so difficult for Toronto to do what they want to do, which is they're all focused on Steph. And then he just Swiss cheeses right through the defense and lays it up and in, or finds somebody wide open.
I feel like, though, if Steph Curry's shot's not falling, if he's not scoring, you know, close to 30.
Right now he has to, right?
Yeah,
that's why I say the key. Well, and I know it's like, well, duh, Steph Curry's the key, but it's so critical. No. You can Draymond can score 12 and still impact the game.
Yep. Indirectly,
but
I
if
was
Steph Curry
with you.
Doesn't score 30, they're not winning this basketball game or
indirectly,
close to it. They
I
can
was
score 27.
Because I'm saying Draymond Green every night is the key for the Warriors. But especially because of the injuries and everything.
Right.
Tonight, you're right. It has to be Steph because he has to give you a monster.
Yeah, if there's no Clay, if there's no KD, and you don't get a meaningful contribution from Steph Curry offensively, they're going to lose that
game. It's so interesting that, I mean, I guess obviously as a player you want to play. So I guess it's a battle between Clay Thompson and the medical staff of the Golden State Warriors right now. And we always talk about Chris Paul's hamstring and how that's like a recurring injury. It's kind of a tender time. I mean, he's young. Mm-hmm. And he can probably heal faster than an older veteran, but still, that's a massive gamble.
Do you think that part of the gamble is, well, hey, look, we've got found money because we won one on the road. So if we lose this game, then it's like basically we went on the road and lost two games like we were supposed to and then came home and won one. So what's the
that's
difference?
That's basically what I was saying. Yeah.
So it's kind of found money, but I'm kind of the mindset that, well, if I'm already up, I want to stay up. I'm going to step on your throat. I'm going to try to put you away. And if I go up 2-1 and I'm at home with another home game.
That's why I heard the Warriors say, we've ramped up activities for Kevin Durant. Well, if you're ramping up his activities,
get his ass
let
in
it
the
play.
Game. But, dude, pretty much everybody on the panel picked Toronto to win tonight. What am I missing? Is this got to be the injuries? I don't know.
They know something we don't about the severity of Clay
and
everything. Tonight, I would say... I can't go away from my pick. I think the Warriors win tonight.
Warriors
win.
Me too. Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. We got?
Warriors.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see if they come out to play. All right. Well, we're going to come out to play tomorrow on a Throwback Thursday. The theme's already been selected. Songs about the rain.
Ooh. Garth Brooks, Thunder Rolls. One of y'all, write it down. That was a good one.
Already got one country song.
Okay. There you go.
Well, you got to get your list in before 1 o'clock. All right. That'll do it for Nick, Barry, and myself. You guys have a great evening. But stay tuned. A special... Blitz coming up next. It's the Boss, the Gloss, and the Falcon, Fred Fowler, along with the Boss and the Gloss, right here on ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know.